Good evening. Welcome to ShareEnjoyment.com. We begin by thanking our host, Jake Weinman, for his efforts, for his enthusiasm, for his assistance, encouragement, and a lot of other things. Really, are always indebted to him for his tireless efforts in making this happen, bringing us together to learn every night of the week with the most excellent, splendid, spectacular, my goodness, cheer in the world. Also want to thank Mitch Green for his technical assistance, Rabbi Majewski, Eli Nyman, for their encouragement and their participation. Tonight, we begin, of course, as we do by in the Ilui Nishmat, Manish Yitzchak Ben Aryeh. We thank our sponsor for his generosity in sponsoring the shir Le'ilui Nishmasai. May this neshama have an aliyah. We also want to learn tonight for Zecher. We also learn tonight for Zecher Nishmas. Chaya Rochel Bas David Tzvi. May this neshama have an aliyah. We thank our sponsor as well. This week, a very special week, is Parshas B'Shalach. Beautiful Parsha, many, many topics. Shir HaSayam, Kriyas Yamsuf, Ramon, and Mochemes HaMolek. Many, many topics to discuss, to study. I'd like to discuss tonight with you shortly an idea that relates to the Mon. Relates to actually night is Monday night, which is Yom Shlishi. There is a tradition, Bal Yisrael, on Yom Shlishi, Parshas B'Shalach, is a day that many people tend to dwell upon, studying, understanding the depth of Parshas L'mon. L'mon provided sviya, satisfaction, satiation. Yachalta v'savata, true, true satisfaction comes when a person ingests the lechem min hashamayim. And maybe a special zechus for us to study a little bit about the mon. We should have that tzvia, that true satisfaction. It's very hard in life to find true satisfaction. So let's discuss something that relates to the mon. I want to first share with you an idea that I saw in a sefer called Shleimin Mitzion by Rabbi Felder. His name was Rabbi Felder. He passed away not that long ago, and he put out his chidushim, and he says there's an idea. The idea, he says, is really mentioned in the Malbim, but he explains it very, very well and elaborates. Let me just share with you the essence of the idea, and then we want to elaborate upon it by connecting it to something else. What we're referring to is as follows. Parashas B'Shalach, when Hashem tells Moshe to tell the Jewish people that they will receive man. So, Pasuk says, Vayasu chen b'nei Yisrael, after they received instructions to collect the man, Vayilkitu hamarbe v'hamamid, everyone went out into the field and they collected. Let me take a step back. It says in the Pasuk, Ze hadavar asher tziva Hashem liktu minenu ish lifi ochloi. Each man lifi. There is a lamit. Lamit peyut. Lifi, according to ochloi, what he needs to eat. How much does he need to eat? Oimer la gulgoyles. A measure for each skull, which means each person. Nispar nafshoy sechem ish lasher be'oholoi tikachu. There is an instruction that every head of the household should go out into the field every morning and collect one measure. The measure here is called an omer, which in our modern measuring calculations is approximately 43 eggs and 2/5 of an egg. Today, eggs are very expensive. So that would be a small fortune as far as volume is concerned, but this was the mon. And for each member of the household, the Rosh Habayis, the head of the household, would bring in one omer. And the term that the Torah uses to describe the collection of each head of the household for his family members is ish lefi ochla, with a lamed. Let's fast forward a few psukim later. The people did not listen to Moshe. And what happened? They were told, of course, they should not leave over. Do not leave over. They should consume everything they had in their possession because tomorrow, the next day, they're going to get another portion of money. But they didn't listen. They left over. And the leftover mun that they kept in their home, it spoiled. Worms came forth. Moshe was upset. The pasuk continues. The very next pasuk, and they collected again. Ba boiker ish ki si ochloi. Each man according to what he needed to eat. V'cham hashemesh v'nalos, and everything that was left in the field melted and disappeared. The question is why. First of all, is it repeated? Why is it mentioned twice that the Jewish people collected, they went out into the field to collect the mun? And number two, why is it the first time it describes the collection with a lamed, le fi ochloi? And the second time it mentions that there was a collection of mun, it says ki fi ochloi. What's the difference between le fi ochloi and ki fi ochloi with a chos? And why is it mentioned twice? Why do we have to have a mention of it happening twice? So Rafelda says in the name of the Malbim, and I think he really embellishes a little bit, lot more, in his Sefer Shleimim Mitzion, what happened in between these two collections? What happened in between the Lifi Achlai and the Kifi Achlai? The only thing that it says in the middle was they did not listen to Moshe, and they left over. They were told to consume everything that they had in their possession. And don't worry. Don't worry if you go to sleep with nothing. Nothing in your refrigerator. Don't worry. Tomorrow there is going to be fresh mun in the field. Pasuk says, V'leishamru Moshe v'yosiru anoshim mimenu ad boiker. Who were these anoshim that left over? Rashi here on this pasuk tells us none other. It was none other than Dothan va'aviram. They left over. They were always looking for trouble, always looking to make Moshe Rabbeinu look bad. They left over. So Rabbi Felder explains as follows. This is a very, very powerful idea. They were originally told to collect an omer for each member of their household. An omer is quite a lot. Many people did not need that much. They did not need an omer. It would have been sufficient for them to collect a half an omer, 3/4 of an omer, maybe even less. Every single person, did they really need an omer, a whole omer per person? It's quite a bit. Dothan v'aviram decided, you know, who knows if tomorrow there will be mun. We don't believe Moshe. In the meantime, I don't need to eat so much. All I need to eat is, let's say, a half an omer. So you know what? If I don't really need all that much, I'm going to only eat exactly what I need. I'm going to be very, very precise. I'm going to be frugal. And I'll put away for a rainy day. And that's what Dothan v'aviram did. And many people followed in their way. The next day, Hashem was upset. I gave you an abundance. I told you, collect a whole omer. And you know, even though you only need to eat one portion, have a second portion. You don't have to worry about dieting in the midbar. We never heard there was any concern about obesity. You can have a second portion. You can have dessert. Be generous. Don't worry about tomorrow. Dothan v'aviram, no. I'm worried. I only need to eat one portion. Maybe I can get away with even less than one portion. I'm going to put away the rest for a rainy day. Who says Moshe is correct? Who says tomorrow we will have? The next day, Hashem demonstrated his displeasure with their behavior. And it no longer came down from heaven a full omer for every single person. The amount of mun that descended was exactly the amount of man that the people yesterday ate. If yesterday you followed in the behavior of Dothan V'Aviram and you only ate a half an Omer, then the next day, no matter how much you collected, you only would take home with you a half of an Omer. After all, you demonstrated the day before, you don't need a full Omer. You only need a half an Omer. You only need a quarter of an Omer, three quarters of an Omer. The amount of mun that each person collected after the damage of Dothan V'Aviram was the amount of mun that they consumed the first time before they left over. And that was a very great source of pain. It was a very powerful message of Musar Hashem delivered to the Jewish people. He was saying to them, I'm going to give you mun in abundance, and you don't have to be frugal. You can eat and eat and don't have to worry about tomorrow. Of course, you can get away. A person wants to go on a diet. A person wants to survive on a small amount. Okay, you can eat half portions, a fraction of a portion. But I'm giving you lechem in hashamayim, berach, with generosity, in abundance. Eat more. Don't worry. You don't believe me. You don't trust me that tomorrow there will be an abundance. There will be generosity, graciousness. You don't trust me. And you're hoarding in your freezer three quarters of what fell today, and you're going to only eat today with the bare minimum what you need to survive. You'll eat just a teeny little morsel and put everything away for a rainy day. You don't trust me? So I'll tell you what. On the next day, you know how much will fall for you? Just what you need, the bare minimum. If on day one I send down, let's say, 10 kizesim of mon, make believe, just throwing out some numbers, and you only ate one kizais and you put away 10, the other 9 in the freezer, after you've shown that you don't trust me, from here on in, it will only fall down in the desert for you one kizais, because that's all you need. It's all you need. You don't need more than that. The proof is, on the first day, I sent you 10 kizesim, and instead of you relaxing and having a second, third portion and being generous and not worrying, you only ate one kizayis. Oh, that's all you need. So from here on in, that's all you'll get. And that's the difference between the two expressions. Originally, when Hashem promised man, and that the people went out to collect, it says Vayilkatu, they collected Ish Lefi Ochloi, with a lamet, according to the food, as the Pasuk goes on to say, Ish Lefi Ochloi, and the Pasuk continues the next words, Oimer Lagul Goylet, Misvar Navshoy Sechem Ish Lasher Beholoi Kikachu, everyone got a very generous portion, more than they even needed. But you don't trust me. You're going to hoard for another day. You're going to subsist on a small amount. The next time you collect, they collect. You're now only going to get exactly what you ate yesterday because you don't trust me. And who's the one that led the way in challenging Hashem and damaged the generosity of the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Dasan V'Aviram. This is the Vart that is rooted in the words of the Malbim. This is how Rabbi Felder explains the difference between Lifi and Kifi and why the Pasuk repeats the collection. In between, we mention what changed. What changed in the middle was an attitude of not having faith in Hashem. V'loy shamu el Moshe v'yusiru anoshim minenu adboiker. They did not listen to Moshe. They left over. We only need a small amount. Everything else will put away in the freezer. Hashem says, you don't trust me. All you needed to eat today is one kizayis. So you know what? from here on in, all you'll get will be a kezayis. You will no longer get the full measure of the omer. Now, let's go a step further. Who are the people who do this? Dasan v'Aviram. Dasan v'Aviram are very complicated people. We know that when Moshe first left Egypt to escape to Midian, it was because of Dasan v'Aviram. They were fighting. Lama Sake Esrei Ehu. We know that Dasan v'Aviram joined with Korach. There's another very important episode where we learn about Dasan v'Aviram. That's in the end of Parsha Shemos, when Paro issued a decree that the Egyptians should no longer provide straw for the Jewish slaves, and they should continue to produce the quota of bricks that was required, but their workload would be increased because now they themselves would have to go out into the field and collect and gather, not mun, but to gather straw. They'd go out, just like they would get later gather the mun, they would go out into the fields and gather the straw. Similar activity, very similar activity. Gathering the mun every day versus gathering straw every day. And the pasuk there, it says that the Jewish people could not keep up with the demand. They were required to produce a quota of bricks, a certain amount of bricks, as they always were required, but now they had to get to collect the straw. There wasn't time. They didn't have the energy. And the Jewish people were organized in such a way where there were taskmasters appointed upon people. Chazal tell us, two of the taskmasters were Dasan v'Aviram. And when the Egyptians demanded results, where are the bricks? And there was a shortage, not a surplus. The Egyptians beat, they afflicted, they punished with physical punishment Dasan v'Aviram. And Dasan v'Aviram accepted the beating. They did not force their fellow Jews to produce more bricks. They accepted upon themselves the yisurin of their fellow brothers, Acheinu Bnei Yisrael. Chazal attribute to this, give them for this enormous praise. Although they were wicked in being malshin, in slandering Moshe Rabbeinu, and although they were wicked from beginning to end, this quality of allowing themselves to take the beating for their brothers and not forcing them to increase their workload was a great merit for them. Pasuk says, "V'hanoigesim otzim lemar." The taskmasters of the Egyptians, they were demanding, "Kalu maseichem d'vayon b'yomai b'yokasher b'yosat heaven." Vayuku shaytrei v'nei Yisrael. They were smitten, they were beaten. This was Dasan v'Aviram. They took the beating. Asher samu aleihem leikse faro lemar madu aloi chilisem chokrem lulban kismol shulshem gam tmol gam hayon. Now, let's analyze this. It was the same Dasan v'Aviram who experienced a situation of shortage by the bricks, who later experienced a surplus by the mun. When it came to make the bricks, they had to go out into the field to collect the straw, and they couldn't keep up. There was a shortage. There was not enough. And they suffered, and they accepted it with nobility. When the mun was given, there was a surplus. Hashem gave every person an omer. And Hashem said, eat it. Eat. You only need to eat a small amount. It's okay. Eat another portion. Enjoy yourself. Again, we're dealing with the mun. We're not dealing here with fried foods. There's nothing to worry about. Health issues and gaining weight. Eat. There's a surplus. Dasan v'Aviram behaved with the mun the same way they behaved with the bricks. They saw a surplus. There's more than what we need. So, you know what? Let's put away. Let's put away. Who says tomorrow there's going to be a surplus? I remember the days when we had to produce bricks And in the beginning, we may have even had a surplus. But then came the dark days when there was no surplus and there was a shortage and we were beaten. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in the future? We can suggest that Dothan's Aviron, when they witnessed the surplus of the Jews going out into the field and collecting mon, it brought them back in time to their experience as taskmasters over their own brethren in collecting straw. And it can very well be that in the beginning, in the good old days, there was a surplus. They put away some bricks for the days when they could not keep up. But eventually, it caught up with them, and there was a shortage, and they took a beating. Could we blame them? Could we blame Dothan v'Aviram? Well, Chazal do blame them. Chazal come back on Dothan v'Aviram with an enormous criticism. And according to the Malbim and Reif Felder, the damage to Klal Yisrael was enormous. Before Dothan v'Aviram left over, everyone received an omer, an enormous abundance of man. And you were told, enjoy it. And after Dothan v'Aviram committed the crime of disobeying a direct order from Moshe, the suffering was enormous. The amount of food was just barely enough to survive. Ish kifi ochlai. Whatever you needed on that day, the first day, it's all you're going to get for the next 40 years. You've shown you only need a small amount. Everything else you put in the freezer. Dothan v'Aviram brought enormous damage to Klal Yisrael with their behavior. What's the lesson? What's the lesson from this? The lesson is that every midah has a time and a place. There's a time and a place when a person has very little. There was a shortage of bricks. And Dothan v'Aviram knew there's a shortage. We can make do. And we'll take the beating for our brothers. But then there's a time when such an attitude is a sin. Hashem says to the Jewish people, I am taking care of you. You have nothing to worry about. Moshe tells them, do not worry. You witnessed the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf. You witnessed incredible Hashkacha, incredible revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't worry. Now is not the time to live the way you lived in Egypt, to put away for later, to worry, to have daigos. You're now under my hashkocha. I'm taking care of you. Now is the time to have emunah. Now is the time to be generous, not to worry. There's a time and a place for everything in life. This was the terrible mistake of Dothan v'Aviram. They failed to remove themselves from the mentality that they had in Egypt and to come on to a fresh perspective of enjoying surplus without having a concern of the future, because Hashem told them, I'm here to take care of you. We have to learn from this in our lives as well that there are certain noble traits, but we have to know when and where is the time and place to make use of them. And what may be a proper approach, a hanhaga in one situation, can be poison in another situation. What may be proper for one person may be dangerous and irresponsible for another person. In Yadus, we always come across this concept. A person has to always be soft and always be able to adapt and bend and have a fresh perspective on every situation, and of course, be mespalel to Hashem for siyata d'shmaya, to make the correct decisions in everything that we do and everywhere where we turn. I want to thank you all for coming tonight, such a choshuva, a distinguished audience. Very lately, I've been speaking to some of the people that are in the audience. And I'm very moved and impressed by the quality and incredible Talmidei Chachamim. and how learned our audience is, the special merit to come together with you and learn with you together, and may our learning be for us and for the entire Klal Yisrael a merit. We should witness to hear good things and see the coming of Mashiach b'mehirah v'yameinu. Amen. Have a good night, a successful week, and enjoy your mon. Good night.